No power greater than X.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the 18th episode of The Crossroads, celebrating 20 years of the Xbox brand. My name is Ryan Turford, and this is the show where we're counting down the months to the 20-year anniversary of the original Xbox with 50 of the best games to play on the console for both new and experienced owners. We dive into the brief history of each game and talk about what makes them awesome. Now, as always, you can find me on Twitter over at Ryan Turford. You also leave us any feedback about this show over on Twitter at The Xbox Drive, as well as you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/TheXboxDrive. Now, on today's episode is actually a series that we're very familiar with on this list. We're returning once again to Star Wars. I know, shocker. I did warn y'all back when we did Lego Star Wars that there are going to be a lot of Star Wars games on this list, just because, again, I talked about it back then, but the quality of Star Wars games on the original Xbox, not only were there so many Star Wars games, but a lot of them were really, really good. And especially because we aren't really taking Xbox Live into consideration when I'm picking some of these, today's game in particular, since it didn't have Xbox Live Play, I think actually made it a little bit more of a stronger contender. It's also a series that I personally am very familiar with. Of course, we're talking today about Star Wars Jedi Outcast Jedi Knight 2. So if you've actually never seen my We the Gamercast appearance over on We the Gamercast, if you've never listened to We the Gamercast, of course, go look up We the Gamercast. It's Sean's podcast, one-on-one interviews with people, strangers on the internet, as one would say. We actually talked about when I was on an episode with him about how Jedi Knight was actually the very first series back on PC that I really was competing in professionally, where I was playing in a bunch of tournaments and stuff. And it was like a huge part of my life while I was in high school, at least for the couple years that I was really climbing up the Microsoft Gaming Zone leaderboards. Yes, you heard that right. Microsoft Gaming Zone was the service back in the day that housed the original Jedi Knight, which of course was actually spawned from the Dark Forces series. So all these games kind of originate all the way back on the PC and the PlayStation 1 in the mid-90s. Basically, Dark Forces was a Star Wars first-person shooter where you played as Kyle Katarn, who's kind of the character across all the Jedi Knight games. But this was before he was a Jedi. He was basically an imperial defector to the Republic. And basically he was trying to help out the rebellion, you know, on all kinds of like infiltration missions and stuff like that, or stealing plans. Like that was kind of his thing. He was almost like an espionage person. And it was cool in Jedi Knight to kind of see his character evolve to become a Jedi, essentially, because he basically learned that his father was a Jedi, and he goes on this whole quest to stop these like other Jedis from taking over the Valley of the Jedi, which was this location where essentially you could basically steal a bunch of force powers from other Jedi in order to like empower yourself to be like the ultimate Jedi with like unlimited force powers, essentially. So it was actually a really cool story. So again, the original Jedi Knight, I was really into it. It was honestly one of my all-time favorite games back then. It's definitely come down now because it's definitely a game that doesn't hold up super well if you play it today. And it definitely ranks lower in my rankings, but it will always be a game and a series that's special to me, at least personally anyways. With Jedi Outcast, however, this was actually a really interesting endeavor for the game because, first of all, it was cool that they gave you a reason why you basically had to relearn all your force powers again, much more, at least a much more interesting way than something like Metroid, for example, where just Samus gets hit by like a bolt of electricity and somehow none of our suit functions work. Whereas in this, you know, there's a whole plot that I'm going to go into in a second. That's kind of this like long story that Kyle goes on. Anyways, he goes on this big journey to kind of regain his force powers. Like it's a really, really unique thing that we just didn't really see a lot from Star Wars games back then. Also again, this is another extended universe game, as far as Star Wars is concerned. So obviously it's not canon anymore, but I think that was really cool. Also, this was mostly known for its multiplayer, which of course, as you can tell, there's no Xbox Live tag on this, meaning that we didn't have the Xbox Live multiplayer in any of the console versions of this game at the time. And that was kind of a big part of this game on the PC version. But I think the single player is strong enough on its own that honestly, it doesn't need that excellent multiplayer in order to hold up. In fact, I think it probably actually holds up better today, maybe without the multiplayer. But I'm going to dive into that right now. In case you haven't played it, in Jedi Outcast, you play as Kyle Katarn 2 years after the events of the Mysteries of the Sith expansion that saw Kyle turn to the dark side only to be redeemed by his pupil Mara Jade. After this, Kyle cuts off his connection to the Force and becomes a mercenary with his pilot and friend Jan Ors. However, when investigating a planet, Jan is captured by Dark Jedi Dasan, who makes quick work of Kyle and tries to kill Jan. Defeated, Kyle restores his connection to the Force in order to defeat Dasan and its goons to take revenge. Jedi Outcast's plot is the Star Wars expanded universe at its very best. While it's no longer considered canon, Jedi Outcast gives us a quality revenge story with some great twists and turns along the way. It's something that I didn't necessarily appreciate the very first time I played it, due to how much I loved the original first Jedi Knight, but over time, and with many playthroughs later, I really came to appreciate just how awesome the story is in Jedi Outcast. And again, we've seen Star Wars revenge stories, again, they're much less pronounced than they are in this game, where this game, like, the revenge really fuels the story. And when this first came out, honestly, again, we didn't really have too much like this. But again, I knew that how attached I was to the story from the first game. And I, for whatever reason, it just didn't grip with me the first time I played it. But again, I've played it multiple times since then. And again, the story actually really hits home. Like, I really enjoyed the story in this game more than I thought I would, you know, revisiting the game, you know, 15 years later, or however long it's been since the last time it came out. So I actually really think this story is actually a really good Star Wars story. And again, even though it's not canon, I actually think Kyle Katarn's a great character. I also really love Jan. I really liked her role in the first game as Kyle's like best friend, like confidant slash lover. They don't really go too much into that in the first game, but in this game they explore more of that again I'm not going to spoil in case you haven't played it, but I really liked what they did with her character in this game too. And also Dasan is just a really menacing bad guy. Like, he's just a jerk. He's a big jerk. He just goes around with his lightsaber. He's like some weird reptilian Dark Jedi dude, but I actually really like his character as well. Like, I think he's actually like a really cool bad guy. And even though I do think his cronies this time around were a little bit, you know, less interesting than Jerix, who is the kind of the big bad from the very first Jedi Knight. Like, he had a much better surrounding cast, I think. But Dasan, I think, is a much stronger villain than Jerix was. But his kind of his cronies are kind of forgettable. I mean, to the point where, like, even though I just played this game a couple days ago to kind of reminisce about this and kind of remember a lot of the plot points, I mean, I can't even really remember most of their names off the top of my head. That's kind of how forgettable they are. But I think that the story, at least, I think the game, it's worth it just for the story alone. Combat plays out in third person. It's very much a third person shooter. But also, again, since this is a Jedi game, you're mostly focused on using your lightsaber. Yeah, you have other weapons. You've got crossbow, like the Wookiee crossbow. You've got a bunch of blasters, you got concussion rifles, you got rocket launchers, but you know, it's a Jedi game. You don't need all that stuff. But I like that. What I've always liked about the Jedi Knight games, though, is that Kyle's not afraid to use other weapons. And I love having all those other weapons at your disposal. So depending on the situation that you're in, you have a lot of options available to you. You're not just limited to kind of the melee range with the lightsaber. Of course, the lightsaber is the fantasy of this game. And what I liked about the lightsaber combat in this game in particular is they gave Kyle three distinct lightsaber styles, kind of like the overhead swings, the mid strikes, and then the low strikes. And then it actually really made battles against Dark Jedi, for example, super interesting, much more interesting than in the original Jedi Knight, where for the most part, unless you were crouching or standing up, or jumping, those were really the only main differences between your lightsaber swings. Whereas this, again, depending on what where your enemy's swinging, you can kind of counter that swing by kind of aiming in the area that's weakest against, you know, where they're trying to hit you. It also gives you faster or longer attacks, like your overhead strikes break through blocks, for example. So it really gave us a lot of tools as a Jedi that we didn't really see before. And I love, too, with a game like Jedi Fallen Order, which again is not a Jedi Knight game, but I think they took a lot of the ideas from Jedi Outcast and other Jedi Knight games and really kind of brought them forth and really refined them in that game. And kind of the parrying system that we found in that game is kind of was very much like a much more simplified version of the combat found in Jedi Outcast. So combat still holds up really well. The enemies themselves have great variety. Like, you're not really fighting too many of the same enemies all the time. Some of the lower Dark Jedi battles, I'm not a huge fan of, because I feel like sometimes they can be a bit button mashy, even though, again, you've got that refined combat that I talked about. But for the most part, combat, level design, I think all that still holds up really, really well over time. Visually, I would say that's probably the one thing that maybe he's gotten probably the biggest hit. Again, I don't think it looks that bad or anything like that. I think it honestly, look, it still looks pretty good on the original Xbox. But I will say, though, the environments, for example, look pretty simplistic. The enemies, though, they still look pretty cool. The character models all look great. The cinematics in the first Jedi Knight game were all actually FMV cutscenes. They actually filmed like live action cutscenes for those. Whereas in this, they did all in engine cutscenes, which again, I thought was weird when it came out. But honestly, again, I think it probably helps the game age a little bit more gracefully than see the really cheesy FMV cutscenes from the original Jedi Knight. So I think visually it holds up pretty well as well. Overall, would I recommend checking out Jedi Knight? Absolutely. Jedi Outcast in particular, really fun game. It also got a great sequel in Jedi Academy as well, which is backwards compatible. So you do have an option to play that now, which I think, again, really fantastic game. Kind of follows up the events of Jedi Outcast where again, it kind of spoils the ending. So obviously you probably want to play this one first. But I really liked how this game really continued on the story and the legacy of the original Jedi Knight and kind of gave more depth to Kyle's character because we had some of it in the first game, but this one really like dove into really, you know, what makes Kyle tick essentially. And I really liked that about this game. So I definitely think it's well worth picking up, especially if you like Star Wars extended universe stuff. I think you're going to really dig this game if you've never played it. It's available on just about everything, PC, Switch, PS4, as well as the original Xbox, which again, great place to play it. Now, if you're looking to pick up Jedi Outcast today, unfortunately, it's not backwards compatible on any Xbox platforms as well, so you will need an original Xbox in order to play it. I don't know why they did it that way or why they brought Jedi Academy, but not this game. But again, that's neither here or there. Obviously, there was a re-release, as I just mentioned, on PS4 and Switch, so you can play it there. It's also on Steam, so that is an option for you. But honestly, the OG Xbox version looks and plays great today. So honestly, if you've got original Xbox, I mean, this isn't really too expensive to pick up and it's a lot of fun. So I definitely really recommend it. That's all for this episode of The Crossroads. You can hit me up on Twitter anytime at Ryan Turford. You also find the Pants Man himself on Twitter at Sean Capri or us on Twitter at The Xbox Drive. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Crossroads and we out. Bye. We'll be right back.